Give me the Bible, and we want to go to the Bible this morning for our Bible study, and we're in 2 Timothy, and we're really studying what a Christian is. A Christian has duties and responsibilities, and we're learning about them. In chapter 1, it says, I'll get to the right page here in just a second. Chapter 1, it says, a Christian is not to be ashamed, verse 12, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto that day. And so we're going to try to write a few things up here that a Christian is. A Christian is, number one, not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed to live the Christian life. And now let's continue reading. And so it says in verse 13 of 2 Timothy 1, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So we're to hold fast God's word. I'll have to abbreviate here. Hold fast the word. Now, actually, it says here, hold fast the form of sound words. Now, all the men here who may have poured any concrete knows what a form is. A form is a pattern. All the ladies here know what a pattern is. Probably you've made something. You've made some sort of something, sewn it. And when you make something, you make it according to a pattern. In other words, here's the picture, and when you follow the blueprint or the pattern, the product comes out just like the picture there. And so the form, some people say it's a pattern. That word can be translated pattern or form or mold. And so we're to follow a form of sound doctrine, sound words. Sound means healthy. And so we're to follow the form. There's a pattern here. And by the way, here's part of that pattern. Well, what should a Christian be? What do we follow? Well, not ashamed. Well, we're to hold fast the sound word. You know, when Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, that's a pattern. And everybody follows that same pattern. We're to believe, we're to be baptized, and we'll be saved. That's a pattern. And so we're to hold fast. That means don't let go. So what is a Christian? A Christian is someone who's not ashamed. He's certainly not ashamed of the pattern or the Word of God. And so we are to do that. Now verse 14, the good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us, this thou knowest, that all they that are in Asia turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now a Christian is someone who sometimes can be deserted. I think it's supposed to have two S's, but I'm too late now. So we can be deserted. Christ was deserted. Paul was deserted on several occasions. And so we're not always going to be pleasing everybody in this world. People are not satisfied with the Word of God. I made a post this week on Facebook. It's odd how people will believe a textbook, they'll believe a news reporter, they'll believe a poll, but they won't believe the Bible. Isn't that something? You'll say, there's a pattern in here we're to follow to be saved. Oh, I don't believe that. Marriage is for one man and one woman, not two men or two women. I don't believe that. The world rejects the Word of God. And by the way, that's a pattern. That's a form. One man, one woman, married for life, that's a form. And so a Christian is someone who's not ashamed. A Christian is someone who holds fast the sound word or the pattern of sound words. And then, but verse 16 says, or verse 15 says, this thou knowest, I'm sorry, verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. You know what a Christian is to be? He's to be a refresher. He's to be a refresher of his brethren. I won't write all that out there. What did Onesiphorus do? Well, he oft refreshed me. You know, we're not to come around Christians and be drugged down and someone harping on you all the time and griping at you all the time. We're to be a refresher. We're to be an encourager. Yes, we're to reprove and rebuke, exhort. But sometimes we want to reprove and we want to rebuke, but we forget to exhort. We've got to exhort. We're all trying to get to heaven. Each and every one of us. I want you to get to heaven. We should want each other to get to heaven. And so we need to be a refresher. And was not ashamed of my chain. And so it wasn't unusual for Christians to be imprisoned. And someone might say, well, I'm not going to go visit that person. I might get in trouble too. He's in jail for being a Christian. I'm going to avoid him. Not on Onesiphorus, he was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. And so he was a refresher that would travel. Now in Rome, they didn't have a telephone directory. We don't use telephone directories much anymore. But, you know, you could look up a directory somewhere now and you'll go, where is that prison where my friend is in? Well, there were probably several locations where they may have kept prisoners. And Rome was a big city. It wasn't planned out like, you know, we have commercial areas, we have residential areas and all that sort of thing. Well, they didn't have that back then. To find someone back then took a while. And Onesiphorus didn't say, well, I'm in this big city of Rome and I just don't know where to start, so I'll just have to forget about visiting old brother Paul. He didn't do that. And so a Christian is someone who is a refresher. Remember that. Let's refresh people. And it's going to take time. It took his time. It took time to do that. We sing a song, take time to be holy. It takes time. It takes time to read your Bible. It takes time to pray. It takes time to come to Bible class. It takes time to come to worship. It took Christ's time to come down from heaven, to live here in this earth. It took time for him to save us. And it takes time for us to be a Christian. It takes time to go visit someone in a nursing home or in the hospital. It takes time to do that. But we're supposed to take time and be a refresher of those. Verse 18 says, the Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Well, Ephesus is way over there. You had to get on a ship to go to Ephesus. Ephesus was way over there in Asia Minor. Rome was way over there in Italy. And so Onesiphorus went all of that way, looked him up and refreshed him. But it wasn't just a one-time thing. He oft refreshed me and while he was in Ephesus. So let's be a refresher. Let's be people. Let's realize we're sometimes going to be deserted. And you know, Christ was all alone on that cross. When he was arrested that night, his disciples all fled in the night. So we may have to stand alone being a Christian. You may have to stand alone at your workplace. You may have to stand alone at school. In your home, you may have to stand alone. And so let's be willing to do that. Christ stood alone. He stood alone before Herod as he was tried by Herod. He stood alone before Pontius Pilate. And so a Christian is someone who's willing to stand alone, but he's someone who's also ready to take time to refresh other people. And so Onesiphorus, oh yeah, by the way, and Paul was thankful for it. Let's be thankful. We're living in America. We're living where we have everything you can imagine. All of us have probably been to Six Flags or SeaWorld. I mean, we have so much. I don't even know that there is such a thing in some countries like that. It may be. I don't know. Some poor countries. We have all of these blessings, all of this entertainment. And we need to be thankful and we need to be happy. We need to work on our happiness and our contentment a whole lot more. And so Paul was in jail. Paul was in prison. This is his last letter, and yet he was thankful for others, and thankful to God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, I believe it's along about verse 22, where it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God to you in Christ Jesus." So God wants us to be thankful, and that's what Paul was. This is what a Christian is. And let's realize that. Now, is there any comments on that as we close out on chapter 1? Now, chapter 2, then, if you have a comment, just raise your hand, a question. Chapter 2, then, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Let's draw a circle there, and let's call that Christ. Let's call that Christ. Christ, being in Christ, is a spiritual location. So we're just going to call that the spiritual location. That circle is really not Christ. That circle represents a spiritual location. And so notice it says, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So we know something that's in Christ, and that's grace. That tells us the exact location. Now, this is in, and this is out. I'm writing kind of small there, but you know what that is. That's a circle, and this is in the circle, and this is out of circle. So, if grace is in Christ Jesus, then it's not outside of Christ Jesus. There's no grace outside of Christ. Now, all these people are saying, "Oh, you need to be saved by grace, saved by grace. You don't have to be baptized, you're just saved by grace." Listen, you're talking without understanding the whole of the Bible. The Bible says, "Be baptized into Christ," Galatians 3 and 27. So what puts you into the grace? You got to get where the location of grace is. Well, to be in that location, to enter that location, one must be baptized. And so grace is not just floating around here outside of Christ. It has a location that is in Christ. I want to jump ahead just for a second here. Verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Well, we're saved by grace, aren't we? Well, guess where salvation is? It's in the same location that grace is in. Grace is in Christ. Salvation is in Christ Jesus. And if we were to go read Ephesians 1 and 3, it will say all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. So you've got to do something in order to get into that location. Those people who say, "Oh, you can't do anything to be saved. You're just saved by grace. But, oh, by the way, say this sinner's prayer." Well, that's doing something. You're going to end up doing something. I mean, they're trying to get out of doing something, but they're not getting out of doing something because they will say you have to say the sinner's prayer. Well, wonder if I don't say the sinner's prayer. You say I have to say the sinner's prayer. Wonder if I don't say the sinner's prayer. Well, they'll say you're not going to be saved. But anyway, you don't pray into Christ. You don't believe into Christ. There's only one way the Bible teaches to enter Christ, and that is baptism. Matter of fact, you remember Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, "They that gladly received his word were baptized." And then verse 47 says, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So God, when you obey God, God does this for us. God cleanses us of our sins, and God puts us in a place we were not before. We were not in Christ before being baptized. We were outside of Christ, and baptism changed that location. So this is pretty important, and I want you to remember 2 Timothy 2 and 1 and 2 Timothy 2 and 10. Remember that when you're talking to someone about salvation and they bring up you're saved by grace. They bring that up. Just say, do you know where grace is? What? Do you know where it is? What do you mean? Well, there's a location for grace, and it's in Christ Jesus. Must get into Christ in order to have that grace. They don't understand that. They're not reading their Bible careful enough. And so one good thing about the Greek language, you know, that's probably the best language that you could write the New Testament in. Because it's very accurate. It's a very accurate language. And I'm glad that the translators of the King James Version understood the preposition and understood the necessity of translating those prepositions correctly. The preposition, this preposition is in. That word in is very important. And so they translated that correctly. And so we appreciate that. We're glad of that. Any comments on that? So a Christian is someone who is in Christ. That is very essential for someone to be in Christ, because that's where salvation is. Everybody in this room wants to be saved. We're not here because we didn't have anything else to do today. We're not here because we just thought it was a nice idea to come to worship. We're here because we want to be saved. We want to be saved and go to heaven. And we need to understand where that location is. That location is in Christ Jesus. So those are very important words, and this is an important passage. Well, verse 2 says, and the things which that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so a Christian is someone who tries to teach others. That's what we want to do. We want to be teachers. Remember that passage over there in Hebrews chapter 5? I think it's along about verse 14 where it says, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need be that someone teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are in need of milk and not strong meat. And so God is expecting us to reach a point. And, you know, that's why we need to study our Bibles. We need to study and study our Bibles. And there's many, many wonderful ways and avenues by which we can study the Bible these days. We can go online and we can find Bible courses and Bible teaching of sound men. And we can learn our Bibles and learn to know enough to teach others. We certainly need to know enough to teach another person how to be saved. If we understood what to do to be saved, we ought to be able to teach others how to be saved as well. And some of the men here, some of the women here as well, have done something so much. Let's say you made biscuits so much. You know the recipe in your head. Well, first of all, you take a cup of flour and so forth, baking soda and all of that. You can recite it by memory. And men have changed oil enough, they can say, well, you get under your car and you take the plug out and you drain the oil into a pan and then you take your oil filter off, and when all the oil has gone out, then you put the plug back in and you put the filter back on and you pour 5 quarts of oil in there and you start it up. You know, we've done it so much, we can recite it from memory. And that's how we ought to be about the Bible. We've read it so much, we know what it says. And we need to be very familiar with God's Word. We just sang a song, give me the Bible, and it will be our guide, and it will be our light, and a lamp, and a direction for us to follow. So commit thou to faithful men. Now, you teach other people, and then the other people that you teach are to teach more people. That's what Christianity is all about. About teaching God's Word. That's why we're here today. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman So we're doing work today, and we're studying our Bible, and we're not just reading it, we're studying it, we're discussing it, we're meditating upon it. And this is one of the, you know, when we had a class a month ago or so about how to study our Bible and get a piece of paper, and when you read your Bible, write down what you learn. That's what we're doing right now. This is what you can do in studying your Bible. You get a piece of paper out, and you find out, what does the Bible tell me to do? That's exactly what we're doing. The Bible says, don't be ashamed. The Bible says, hold fast the sound word. The Bible says, you may be and can be deserted. You're to be a refresher of men. You're to be thankful. You're to be in Christ. You're to teach others, and they're to teach others. That's how we can remember more about the Bible if we'll get a piece of paper, a blank sheet of paper, and just read and write down. I think that Bible class we had, we said, read the chapter and then just write one sentence about what you learned from that chapter. We can do that, or we can do this. We can even be more specific than that. So learning the Bible, if you learn the Bible, you know what I found out what people don't like? They don't like to come to Bible class and not learn the Bible. They like to come to Bible class and learn the Bible. That's what I found out. I've seen people who went to somewhere and they'll say, what should I do? They'll call me. What should I do? I'm not learning anything in this congregation. It's a hard thing to... That's a hard answer, by the way. Should I stay here or should I go somewhere else? So they're not learning. And so they don't even want to stay there. I've had those kind of calls. People not learning anything from the Bible. We need to learn the Bible. Our faith is going to be strengthened. We're going to satisfy our appetite. This is the food that we need. We need food for our soul. And we don't like it when we come to eat and there's nothing on the plate. There's nothing there for us to consume spiritually. We don't like it if we went to somebody, hey, supper's ready, come on. Empty plate, empty table. I thought we were going to eat. Oh, well, let's just talk. That's the way some people are in their Bible class. They just want to talk. I've even read bulletins where they said, we are not going to say what's right or wrong. We're just going to read the scriptures and then you decide. You decide. You make up your own mind. Oh, by the way, they were going to study moral issues. They were going to study moral issues. I may still have that bulletin back there somewhere. That was years and years ago. And they said, we're going to study these moral issues, drinking and stuff like that, and we're not going to come to a conclusion. You just make up your own mind. What? That's not anything. That's not what we're supposed to do. The Bible tells us what to do, and we want to know what it says about us doing something. And so... We need to have a good understanding of the Bible. Now, look at verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What is a Christian supposed to do? He's supposed to be a Christian when hard times come. He's to endure the hard times. I wish it was always easy to be a Christian. I wish it was easy every day to be a Christian. But when we read about people trying to serve God, we read about Joseph. He had challenges. We read about Moses. He had challenges. We read about David. Well, he was chased down by Saul for years and years and years. He had challenges. We read about Samuel. He had challenges. There's nobody in the Bible. Matter of fact, go read Hebrews 11. 32 through the end of the chapter, and you'll read about people who were serving God who had a lot of hardships. They were living in caves. They were wearing goat skins and sheep skins. They were destitute, so forth. You got to be hardened. You got to take the hard times. Don't wear your feelings on your sleeve. You ever heard that saying? You're kind of like, you got them on your sleeve there. Oh, you hurt my feelings. No, you can't be that way. You can't be that way at all. You got to be tough. Somebody says, well, they said that to me, and I think they meant to insult me. I'm not going to church there anymore. You know how many times Jesus was insulted? What if he said this? Oh, those soldiers, they insulted me. I'm not going to die for them. I'm not going to die for their sins. Just forget it. That's the way the world's going to treat me. You see, if he'd given up, we wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't have a Savior. We can't give up. We can't leave the church and quit the church. That's where salvation is. To be in Christ is to be in the church. And to give up on the church is to give up on salvation. Have I ever had my feelings hurt? Yeah. Yeah, I've had my feelings hurt. But you're just going to have to stay in there and be kind and be nice. Don't overcome evil with evil, the Bible says. Overcome evil with good. That's what the Bible says. So when someone may say something mean to me, I'll just be nice right back to them. Just be nice right back to them. And so endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In the next hour, we're going to talk about the battle of the ages. Do you know that we are in right now? And you have been from day one you came into this world. There's been a battle raging all around us. It's the battle of the ages. Josh, Zach? Yeah.
For a second, that one person has control over how I feel about God, and I'm going to, be a little baby about what they said and not come back anymore.
That's right. So we've got to be tough. To be a soldier, you got to have some toughness. To be a farmer, you got to be tough. To be a plumber, you got to be tough. To be a lawyer, you have to be tough. To be anything, you have to have some toughness. By the way, to be a mother and a dad, you got to have some toughness, don't you? You got to stay with the situation. You can't say, well, that kid's acting up, so I'm just going to quit being his dad. You can't do that. You got to stay being his dad. And so the church, you can't quit the church. The church is the body of the saved. And so we've got to realize these things. And I wish I could convince some people I know that have quit the church. I wish I could convince them, please come back. Please, please come back for your soul's sake. I care about you. I care about you. I want you to come back to the church. You were once in the church and faithful. But I don't know. It might have been hard times. Remember the parable of the sower? Some of the seed fell over by in the wayside soil, or some fell in the shallow soil. Sun came down, beat on it. They fell away. Didn't hard times. So we've got to endure hard times. We're soldiers. Think about Christ. Think about the apostles. Think about the prophets of the Old Testament. They were persecuted. They stayed in there. They hung in there. You know, I heard this on another sermon, but I like it anyway. And I've used it several times. On Judgment Day, we might say, Lord, well, I didn't stay faithful because I had to stand alone. Or I didn't stay faithful because somebody ridiculed me. That's why I didn't stay faithful, trying to make an excuse on Judgment Day. Lord, I wasn't faithful. I didn't stay faithful because, well, it was just hard. It was hard. And Christ can say on that day, I was forsaken too. But you know what I did? I got up and I went ahead and I suffered anyway. Yeah, they ridiculed me too. But you know what I did? I went ahead and served the Lord till I died anyway. You know, everything that happens to us has already happened to Christ. You know what Christ did? He toughened up, he stiffened up, and he went on and carried out his duties and he finished the matters that were so difficult to save our souls. So we've got to endure hard times. It's not easy being a Christian. And we've got to realize that. And so let's be tough. Let's be tough Christians. Let's hang in there. Let's be loyal and dedicated all the way through. And so the Bible doesn't say, oh, become a Christian, everything will be easy, everything will be pleasant, there won't be any pain. It says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is, a soldier. Ran out of room. Verse 4, no man that warreth. See, we're in a war. We're going to talk about the battle of the ages in the next hour. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's remain free of entanglements in this world. You know, if you had a child and he went and joined the Army or the Marines, he's to be a full-time soldier. He can't go off and run a business over here and be a baker or something. He's got to be a soldier. He's got to be ready. He can't say, well, I can't go fight that battle over there because I've got a bakery to operate here. No, you're a soldier. You're a soldier first, and you've got to take care of your master's duty. And so let us take care of our master's duty. We're enrolled as a soldier. And the battle is the first and foremost thing that we must have on our hearts. Then it says in verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. What does a Christian do? He abides by the law. Now, by the rules of God. I think some versions there, you might help me out if you got another one there. It says, if any man strive for the, does it say crown there? Has anybody got crown? You know, you're trying to win. If you're running a race, you try to run so you win, you know. And so you've got to do it lawfully. And so that's why on all these sporting events now, they got replay. They got instant replay because they want to know if it was in or out. If it was out, no touchdown. And so they're trying to abide by the law. They're trying to abide by the rules. And you can't win unless you go by the rules. And so they'll say, was that pass interference? Let's see it again. Yes, it was. Incomplete, whatever. Complete, whatever. We've got to strive by the law. We can't just say, well, let's just worship however we want to today. And let's just conduct ourselves however we want to today. And let's be just whatever we want to. No, you're not crowned. You don't win unless you go by the rules. And so a Christian is someone who abides by the rules, by the laws. People don't like rules today. You noticed? They don't like rules today. They want to do what they want to do, and if they get kicked out of school for breaking the rules, guess what? Mom and dad are down there defending their kid breaking the rules sometimes. And we can't do that. We got to go by the rules. Schools have rules for a reason. Traffic laws are out there for a reason, to safeguard people. And God's rules, God's laws are for our benefit, not for our harm. God's not trying to harm us. I think we need in our society today a renewal or somehow an understanding of what laws are for. Laws are for helping people out, benefiting people. And so, you know, we have to pay high taxes. We don't like that rule, do we? But if you don't have the taxes, you don't have the schools, you don't have the law enforcement, you don't have the judges down there to try the criminals. We've got to pay for all of that. Do I want judges down there? Do I want them prosecuting the wrongdoer? Yeah, I do. Well, you got to pay for it. You got to pay for the judges. You got to pay for the jailers. You got to pay for the electric bill down the jail. We have to pay taxes for that. But those are not trying to hurt us or harm us. They're trying to protect us. And so let's realize that we must strive lawfully, lawfully. And then it goes from being from talking about a soldier, it goes to talking about I like to call the husbandman a farmer. He's someone who might work in a vineyard or an orchard, the husbandman. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. So we benefit from the work that we're doing. Consider what I say. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. You know, the Christian does what? He strives. He wants to have understanding. I want to understand. I don't want to rebel against God. I don't want to say, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. No, I want to understand. God says this. I want to understand as much as I can about that. And so let's do the same thing. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. A Christian believes that. A Christian believes that Jesus... There are three cardinal doctrine. There are three cardinal elements of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. And you know, we hear a lot of sermons on Him dying. But number two, He was buried. That burial was just as important. That's the gospel. Look at the 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. That's the gospel. And He not only was buried, but He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so that's what we need to realize, that He was raised from the dead. And He was of the seed of David. He was the right lineage. And He did the right thing. He died. He was buried. And then He was raised from the dead. And that's why we're here. We're here today because that's what the gospel says. That Christ died, that He was buried, He rose again. We're going to do the same. We're going to die. We're going to be buried. You know, He was buried. You know, people, if He wasn't buried, people would say, oh, He didn't die. No. You see, He just passed out. That's what people try to say anyway. Oh, He just passed out. He woke up while He was in that tomb. He woke up, and opened the door Himself, and walked out Himself. No, He died. He died. They don't bury live people. They bury dead people. And all those people there that day knew He was dead. Matter of fact, I'm glad the Roman soldier pierced His side, because that was to affirm. They already said He was dead. They already said He's dead already. They broke the legs of the one criminal. They broke the legs of the other criminal. But they didn't break Christ's legs. Why? He was already dead. But to affirm that, they cut His side open. Blood and water flowed out. And then they took Him down. He was dead. He was buried because He was a dead man. But He rose again. And that's why we're here today. Because we're going to be, we believe in the resurrection of the dead. We have never seen that. We have never seen one raised from the dead. We believe based upon the evidence of the Bible. The Bible, it has evidence that it is inspired of God. And we believe it completely, and it's based on evidence. But verse 9 says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. That's what Christians do. We suffer like we've done something wrong, even unto bonds. How do you know he was in prison? There it is. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so we're going to stop right there. Does anybody have a comment or a question? We have got about a minute. I think verse 10 is a good place for us to stop. All right, we'll be dismissed. Thank you for your kind attention here today.